and welcome to Connected Thoughts. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today. Well, we're here today with two guests. One, of course, is my regular Tuesday co-host, Mr. Michael Litchens. He's the editor of Catholic Exchange, all-around swell guy. And we also have a special guest today. She is Destiny Herndon De La Rosa, and she is a mother of four living in Dallas. She is a pro-life feminist, the founder and president of New Wave Feminists, and she is in the news today. So we wanted to welcome you to the show, Destiny. How you doing?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. If it's true that any publicity is good publicity, then I've been getting a lot of good publicity today.
All right. I wanted to have you on the show because, first of all, because you're doing great work.
Thank you.
New Wave Feminist. You know, one of the things that I've been made very hopeful about has been the rise of consistent life ethic Catholics. You are one example. I also think of Amy Christine Murphy, Life Matters Journal. And you guys are doing a fine job of pointing out.
How much is it going to break your heart if I tell you I'm not actually a Catholic?
No,
that's okay. Am I still allowed to be on your show?
So fine. Yes, absolutely. You know, okay. All hands on deck. I didn't know that. That's good to know.
I am not, but I am consistent life ethic. New Wave Feminist is a secular group, though.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what matters here. Especially because we're coming up on this, we're in this week that's fraught with all this historical significance. So we have the inauguration of our misogynist in chief on Friday, who has just made an unbelievable spectacle of himself over the last year in terms of just gross misogyny, and public confessions of, sexual assault, which get recast as that's just locker room talk, and all of this kind of BS. And so there is going to be a march on Saturday. And I guess I would like to just kind of hand over to you now the narrative of what happens next.
Yeah. What happens, man? So the march originally was set as an anti-Trump rally, Women's March on Washington, which as a pro-life feminist, I could get behind. This entire election has put us in a very precarious position, given that in the pro-life movement, there were a lot of early adopters of the Trump administration, and it was horrifying because I've spent the last decade of my life trying to convince the world that pro-life is pro-woman. We care about women. And then suddenly when you see everyone defending these disgusting displays of, like you said, sexual assault, misogyny, it was really, really horrifying. And so we were one of the few groups along with Secular Pro-Life and some others who were adamantly never Trump. Now, of course, our followers, there are plenty of them who were we're going to hold our nose and vote for him because he has an R behind his name and he claims to be pro-life, even though all of us kind of know he's not.
Come on.
this brought up something very interesting that, I think the most dangerous thing we ever did was make abortion a partisan issue. This is a human rights issue. This is something that everybody should be on board with. But unfortunately, because it's got this, death grip from the GOP, so many people are now forced to endorse candidates who, are honestly pro-life in name only, which is what I would consider Trump, of course. If you're truly pro-life, you understand the human dignity of all people. And he has certainly let us know that that's not the case. So that is the reason that we were excited to head out to the Women's March on Washington. We felt like while we brought a unique perspective being pro-life and subscribing to the consistent life ethic, we certainly felt like we fit the bill from going to an anti-Trump rally. And so we decided at the beginning of January to go. And then last week there were a couple articles floating around. I think it was Christian Post or Christianity Today, a guy had written an article where he said, pro-life women not welcome at Women's March on Washington. And then in the article, he goes in to say that they were not invited. And I kind of had to laugh at that because nobody's invited, man. It's like, it's a public march. You just go and right. participate. We weren't waiting for these engraved invitations. And so we had made a meme joking and said, you know, call us unladylike, but we don't need no stinking invitation. Like, we're going to be there. And then I realized, to be fair, I found out that they had a partnership page that you could apply. And I thought, okay, well, we will we'll at least apply. And if they shoot us down, they shoot us down. It's not going to change our plans. But I don't want to be dishonest in saying that they are excluding pro-life feminists when none of us have even tried to partner. Mm-hmm. So we apply. We submit a bio, which basically said, you know, we are pro-life feminists, and our main goal is not making abortion illegal. It's making it unthinkable and unnecessary by loving women so well that they would never think to, you know, commit violence against their unborn children in order to have a happy, healthy life. And we also agree with you on these other points. You know, we're anti-domestic violence and human trafficking and blah, blah, blah. And so we made it very clear. We submitted, I think it was like our Twitter handle they asked for, our Instagram, our Facebook, our website, a couple email addresses from people in the group, all of this information. And 3 days later, we get a response saying that they are thrilled to partner with us. And of course, it was a
really
form, but yeah. So I mean, it's the same form letter I'm sure that they send everyone, but still, I was ecstatic because here they were actually doing what they claimed they wanted to do, which was be inclusive and diverse. Yeah. And so I was pleasantly surprised. So we did an interview with The Atlantic prior to this. And so I forwarded the message on to them and said, hey, check it out. They've added us. Now, their stance on abortion has been kind of ambiguous. While Planned Parenthood and NARAL were certainly sponsoring the event and having a large presence there, they had not officially listed abortion on their site as an official platform until I think it was like Saturday or Sunday. So we were already on there by that point. And then the article from The Atlantic comes out and kind of gives a little nod to them, praising them for including us. And within 2 hours, we were removed from the site because of the backlash from pro-choice feminists saying, you know, again, they can't sit at our table. They're not one of us. So they love diversity and inclusion and the variety of women's voices, but not pro-life voices. You can't go that far. So
pro-choice with the Dr. Evil scare quotes around choice.
It was incredibly disheartening to know that the message is women can be anything except for pro-life. But the good news is it's put a ton of spotlight on New Wave feminists and our platform and the Consistent Life Ethic platform that I think a lot of people don't even know exists.
Well, and that's really been the windfall for you guys. I mean, you know, after you're done on this show, you're doing an interview with Elle, right?
Yeah, and then tomorrow with Rolling Stone. It's amazing publicity that I can't be mad at them for consciously unpartnering from us after this one.
Well, and it really does demonstrate, I mean, real hypocrisy here. I am the first person to recognize the, because I've been remarking on this for a good long while now, that there really is a problem with a great deal of the pro-life movement in that it is anti-abortion but not pro-life.
Right.
And the candidacy of and the success of Donald Trump is a huge, I mean, it's a giant neon sign in the sky illustrating this, you know.
Absolutely.
That you've got this problem of people who say that they're pro-life who not merely wink at but cheer for, you know, this guy who is openly confessed to sexual assault and who is just incredibly misogynist and has been so insulting toward women over and over and over again. And so there is a real problem there, and I'm the first person to acknowledge that and say we have to do something about this. Those of us, I certainly would regard myself as one of them, those of us who have always reckoned ourselves as conservatives have to look at this and say, you know what? One of the big critiques of feminists of the pro-life movement is turning out to have a great deal of validity. There really is a great deal of misogyny here, and Donald Trump is exhibit A. Now, all that being said, you know, The organizers of the March for Some Correct Women have made extremely clear that there's also a problem on the left now, because you guys, you know, all you wanted to do was turn out and say no to misogyny. And at the end of the day, these guys said, you know what? It's more important to grind your face just because of your ungood think about abortion than it is to stand shoulder to shoulder and oppose the misogyny of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's a massive betrayal. So bravo to you.
Thank you.
Now, you have, I'm sure because of this, you have decided to turn tail and go and sit and look out a rainy window and feel pity for yourself at this point. Is that pretty much what you're going to do? That's,
I feel like that's what I need, my fainting couch.
No, because that's like the message that you guys telegraph, you know, just curl up in a ball. You know?
Curl up in a ball. God forbid women disagree on something. How can we ever handle your disagreeing thoughts? Well, and I would say the irony here is that so many of us woke up after Election Day and were like, what the heck just happened? How on earth do we have a president-elect Donald Trump? And so much of it was because it was
Destiny. We're up against the break, but we will be back right after this. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We are here today with Michael Litchens and Destiny Hernan De La Rosa of New Wave Feminists, and we'll be back on Breadbox Media right after this. Welcome back to Smart Shay. We're here with Mr. Michael Litchens, our Tuesday co-host. And we're also here with Destiny Herndon De La Rosa. She is the founder and president of New Wave Feminists. Disenfranchised by the ridiculous organizers of the March for Some Correct Women on Washington, D.C. that's happening. And they rejected you. And so you're just going to curl up in a ball, right? And just...
I'm going to die, because if I can't be crowned a queen feminist by the other feminists, then clearly there's no place for me.
Yeah.
The great thing about feminism is it is a movement that is rooted in rebellion. So it almost became too corporate by us being a sponsor. The only thing that could have made it punk rock again was them kicking us out and then still going. So I really appreciate the punk rock street cred that we have gained through all of this. As well as the spotlight from national media now highlighting the fact that not only is pro-life feminism a thing, but it is a thing that is growing, and it is a movement that, you know, if you don't want to include us, that's fine, but we're not hurting too bad on our own. We will still carve out a place so that other pro-life women know that they can wear the label of feminist proudly.
That is appropriately badass, and I salute you.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, this is that was what was I loved so much yesterday was just watching the response from you. I was seeing the response from Amy Christine Murphy as well, and also of course other uppity women, especially on Facebook, who were like, you know, let's screw this, you know.
I have had complete randos because I guess I'm kind of dumb and I have my phone number on our website. So complete randos call me and say, hey, I'm pro-choice. I'm a pro-choice male, but this pisses me off that they did that. That's not okay.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was a fantastically dumb move.
Even got some press from Damon Linker, you know, one of the great liberal writers out there right now, which was very impressive to watch.
Yeah.
Well, that's fabulous.
Part of what I part of what I appreciate about this is that it really has brought out, you know, the thing that has always given power to this kind of treatment of pro-life feminists has been, has been the fact that you could point to the Donald Trump supporting pro-lifer and say, it's all a bunch of garbage. Look, this is all just opposed to abortion. It's all a fig leaf for right-wing culture of death priority stuff. And you could really make that argument, but you guys take all that power away because you're there and you're saying, look, we totally oppose this misogyny. And yeah, we're really, you know, we are, that's why we're there. You weren't even there, you know, to be, arguing about abortion. The whole point of wanting to go to this thing was simply to uphold the reality of the dignity of women, and it wasn't good enough. And so now, when that happens, it completely disempowers this attempt to shame real women of conscience on the issue of abortion, and, you know, to try to call them names and all that, all the rest of it. And so you guys have completely owned this, and I'm so proud of you for doing it. I mean, you've really a fantastic job here.
Your patriarchal man pride means so much to me,
Mark. Well, you know, and that's what it's all about. I'm here to confer my blessing on you.
I appreciate it a ton. And the thing is, you know, we go out and we speak to college age kids all the time. And the funny thing is, the issue that I see most with radical feminism is they are fighting a quote unquote patriarchy that does not exist here in the Western world. You know, so I always talk about the ye old patriarchy, which is the man who goes out and he like acquires his bride for a dowry and pumps her full of babies. And then those babies come out and work the farm and plow the land. And I always ask the college kids, like, do you know anybody like that? Do you know that guy? No, because I haven't spoken in Utah yet. So none of them know that guy. And I'm always like, at what point are we going to realize that the patriarchy, which all that means is a societal structure where men hold most of the power and the money, that the new patriarchy is this douchebag patriarchy? I don't know if you have to bleep that out on your show, but
go ahead. Okay. We'll be fine.
It's this dirtbag patriarchy that wants to use and exploit women. And, you know, we don't want babies. We want flat screens. So sex is still a commodity, but any type of commitment or expense with children, we want to eliminate as much as we can. And so we expect women to bear the burden of, you know, hormonal contraceptives from the time they're 14, 15 years old. You need to be tricking your body into thinking it's pregnant for a decade and a half. It's a class one carcinogen you're putting into your body. And we just blindly follow that because, oh, this is control over my fertility, not realizing the long-term health effects. And then, of course, abortion goes hand in hand with that, that if you do become pregnant, you're still expected to go ahead and carry the full burden and responsibility of this choice and eliminating this life. And nobody wants to talk about the fact that that's not always the right choice for a woman. And there are, you know, emotional issues that could arise from making that choice. And so, when we look at the new patriarchy and what that is, I mean, Donald Trump is the poster boy for that. It's the sexual ethics of men like Donald Trump that lead to abortion. So when you have a pro-life movement that wants to view, you know, just abortion as a fetus and saving a fetus, but doesn't want to look at the fact that it's not created in a vacuum. There are so many other elements that lead up to a woman deciding, I can't do this. I'm not strong enough to have this child. I need to terminate this pregnancy. Why is that? Why haven't we loved women well enough and supported them well enough that they do not have to turn to violent alternative?
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is, you know, this has been one of the big arguments that I've been trying to make, you know, throughout this election is, you know, the approach of the mainstream pro-life movement, the anti-abortion but not pro-life movement, has focused almost exclusively on eliminating supply. So if we will somehow magic Roe v. Wade away and we will magically somehow or other, despite the fact that 80% of Americans don't want to do this, we're going to outlaw abortion. And that's what's going to happen. And the question that's not asked is, why do women seek abortions? Do they do it for fun?
Right.
No, they don't do it for fun. They do it because they're terrified, because they're under tremendous pressure. There's, you know, much of the reason is economic. And how do we approach that? Well, currently, you know, the number one priority of the pro-life GOP, we haven't seen any pro-life legislation happening. Why? Because the entire focus is on figuring out a way to make sure that poor people don't have health care.
And I am literally one of those people right now. I do not have health insurance. My husband and children have health insurance, but adding me would double it. And so it's a very personal argument whenever I hear pro-life, quote unquote, politicians say, you know, let's defund Planned Parenthood. Okay, well, what are you going to put in its place? And here's what I would rather see. Rather than taking down Planned Parenthood, let's cut the legs out from under Planned Parenthood by offering comparable alternatives so that we take the business away from Planned Parenthood and they no longer have this monopoly. Because I will say, I think it's incredibly demeaning that poor women and uninsured women are forced to get their medical care from an abortion provider. I mean, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but what type of message are we sending to poor women by saying, if you become pregnant, here's an abortion clinic? It's very Freakonomics. It's very clear that we want them to terminate that pregnancy. Right. However, I would say, just like with Planned Parenthood, and I would much rather pro-lifers invest time and energy into creating alternatives than just being against something, I kind of feel the same way to a degree about the welfare state we currently live in. Poor people exist. They need help. We need to be helping them. The church and faith communities especially need to step in and meet that need. I don't necessarily think the government is the only way. And I'll tell you why, because unfortunately, with the welfare state we have now, I think it incentivizes abortion quite a bit. When a government can go in and say, you know, we'll supplement, we'll prop up Planned Parenthood, we'll give them all of this federal funding because, you know, there's a finite amount of resources and we don't want poor people having babies that are going to be on the government dole. It's much easier for us to help you get a $500 abortion than help you raise this kid for the next 18 years. So how do we remove that power?
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what it comes back to, because, of course, you know, what we're looking at ultimately is and what the church, I'm speaking as a Catholic here, what the church calls for is for people to be able to be full participants in the economy. So on the one hand, there has to be a social safety net for, I just read today, you know, there's a story out of Portland. There's a large homeless population in Portland. A baby was just found dead in her mother's arms.
I don't know if y'all can hear me. I think I lost you.
Oh, no, I'm here. Can you hear me? Oh,
yes.
Well, we're up against a break. We will return as soon as we have figured out what's going on here. And you're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here today with Destiny Herndon De La Rosa and Michael Litchens. And we'll be back on Breadbox Media right after this. The Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today talking with Michael Litchens, our Tuesday co-host, and with our special guest, Destiny Herndon De La Rosa. I just have to say that, and I've been waiting pretty much the whole show to say this, that once we were able to schedule you, I was so pleased to be able to say that we had a date with Destiny.
I have never heard that before.
I know. You've never ever heard that joke before, but you know, there it is. Well, I want to talk then a little bit more about the consistent life ethic. that you espouse, that as a Catholic I espouse to, because that's what the church teaches, and especially about the attitude, the, if you will, the just the wonderfully ballsy attitude that that you guys have exemplified in just refusal to back down, either to the anti-abortion but not pro-life right, but also to what was exemplified by the March for Some Correct Women, you know, that you're not allowed to speak. You guys just don't take that lying down, and I love that. And so I wanted to hear from you. How do you help other pro-life feminists who get this all the time? What's your buck up speech that you give to them?
You know what? If they don't want us, that's fine. We are doing our own thing. And when you feel like you are in the right when it comes to human rights, and that's how I feel. I feel like this is something we are going to be on the right side of history about. Anytime that we have marginalized a particular, you know, subset of human being within the human family and dehumanize them and said they're not fully human, it has never worked out well for us. So to say that about the preborn, you know, to your point about the consistent life ethic, right. When we start understanding human dignity from the womb to the tomb, then it makes much more sense for me to say, you know, Donald Trump's comments are horrifying because it dehumanizes a woman when he says these things about her. Right. So it's something that, you know, clearly pro-choice feminists are just so dadgum set on, like, holding on to those abortion rights that they are not even willing to realize the gray area, the nuance, the fact that there is so much inconsistency in what they're saying, that abortion makes women more exploitable than probably any other thing we have had to deal with. Right. And it allows us to be used. It allows our children to be used. And we give up so much power when we, I think, water down the message that women are phenomenal. We are unique and capable. And I always joke that, you know, I'm not settling for equality. It seems like the radical feminist motto is we're striving for equality. That means I have to give up something very unique and special about my womanhood in order to settle for equality with men. I mean, I'm sure y'all are great, but, and of course I kid, I joke all the time, you know.
We do our best to keep up. But...
Yeah, I, I love men so much. I have created two men with my very own body. So I am definitely not anti-man.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, it's very striking to me that this simple idea of human dignity from conception to natural death is so baffling to people. You know, it's like, why is this complicated?
Yeah.
But I hear this all the time. You know,
they want to cherry pick.
Yeah, and again, this is something that I've noticed again and again on the, you know, the anti-abortion but not pro-life end of the spectrum, has been, I will continually see the unborn used as human shields to make arguments for abusing other human beings. Well, you know, who cares about torture when, you know, the unborn are being killed, as though those things are opposed and not obviously related, you know?
Right.
And that baffles me, but it equally baffles me to see that kind of blindness that will say, you know, we must stand as sisters against the misogyny of Donald Trump. Well, except for you. You're not allowed to, you know? And that's mind-boggling to me. I don't get that.
It's very interesting that, yeah, like I said, we want women to raise their voices as long as we agree with them. We definitely don't want you new wave feminists saying anything here. And again, that goes back to my point earlier that we look around and we wonder how we ended up with a president like Donald Trump. And so much of it is because people's opinions became closeted, you know, and we you can't say that. That's unpopular. We don't want to talk to you about it. So rather than engaging someone and saying, holy moly, you are wrong, let me explain to you the ways you are wrong and change your thinking, we've just shut people down. And that is what the march, the Women's March on Washington, I feel like has done with us. It said, we do not want your voice here. Your voice is not even worthy of us having any open dialogue. And I just feel like that's the irony of all of this. That's how we ended up with a president like Donald Trump, the one that you are protesting with this march.
Right.
And then you're turning around and doing it to us.
Right. Yeah. You know, the march organizers, you know, and to give them credit, it sounds like the march organizers were fine until they got heat. So it was, it's more, I'm not making excuses for their cowardice, but at least you were initially accepted.
And
So that's like a crack in the door, you know?
Well, I talked to someone actually earlier today, a reporter up in D.C., who said she interviewed one of the organizers months ago, like back in November, who said all voices are welcome here. And the woman the reporter specifically asked, you know, will you accept women who are pro-life or disagree on this or that? And she said, absolutely. Like, the more women, the better. And so obviously that changed once they started, you know, getting that pressure. And it's unfortunate that they caved in. I tend to be empathetic because doing most of the New Wave feminist outreach, we use a ton of social media, and it can be overwhelming at times, you know, when you have something controversial and everyone's attacking you. And of course they had Jessica Valente and some other high name pro-choice feminist coming out and saying certain things. And so I want to be empathetic to them. This is the first march they've ever organized, I believe. So it's not like they're professionals. They made a mistake. No harm, no foul. Like I said, they've paid us back tenfold by giving us more publicity.
Well, and that's gracious of you. You know, that is very gracious. And they really have, you know, in many ways done you a favor. And what's striking to me is, in fact, the press that you're getting. Because the press that, you know, some of the press that you're getting is from people like me. You know, so I'm a Catholic, so you would expect to hear, you know, a pro-life Catholic, you know, coming out and talking about this. But it's fascinating to me that you're doing an interview with Rolling Stone.
It'll be
frozen out by Rolling Stone. You know,
it's very intimidating because, of course, I have to view it as a hit piece. Unfortunately, I have to go into it very protected and guarded and know that they might try to twist my words. But anybody who follows our group or knows us well, they understand that we have a heart for women, and that's where all of this is coming from. Mm-hmm. We're actually launching an app here in the next few months called Help Assist Her. So it's three separate words, but it sounds like Help Assist Her. And the idea is that it would be like the app Around Me, where you open it up and it drops a pin to, you know, coffee shops or bars or hospitals or whatever, except for it would be the pro-life alternative. And it would drop pins to local pregnancy resources, maternity homes, WIC offices, Medicaid offices, anything that if you were out on the sidewalk and, you know, found yourself speaking to an abortion-minded or abortion-vulnerable woman, you would offer those resources to her on the sidewalk. But what about if you're, you know, standing in line at Target and you see a young couple behind you who is holding a pregnancy test, and you can tell that clearly they're upset about this. How do we empower them with resources and get them those life-affirming alternatives? And the really cool thing that I have noticed as we're going through these resources, the Vitae Foundation and Alliance Defending Freedom have both given us their databases of federally qualified health centers as well as pregnancy resource centers. One of the things I guess I've bagged on the pro-life movement in the past is, yeah, we get that you support us when we're pregnant, but what about when we're not pregnant? You know, what about
exactly
healthcare? Couldn't that still be sort of pro-life too? And so the neat thing that I found is there are actually quite a few pregnancy centers that offer a full range of women's health care. So, you know, STD screenings and breast exams and cervical exams and whatnot. And so that's been really neat to see. The problem is, unlike Planned Parenthood that has this massive network and marketing money out the wazoo and everything else, Right. A lot of these clinics are pouring all of their money into those resources, so they can't market themselves well. So you might have some in your community, but you have no idea how to find them. And I had a woman contact me from upstate New York the other day who was at a woman's shelter. She would definitely consider herself pro-choice. I went to elementary school with her, but she had heard me talking about this app. And she said, I know it's not ready yet, but do you happen to have any resources in one of these three cities? We brought a woman in last night. We've taken her to a safe home. She had two black eyes and she was pregnant with twins. And she just kept saying, these babies have to go. These babies have to go. I have to go. And so basically they were on suicide watch with this young girl all night. Wow. And she, talk about someone who had nothing. So
you're doing magnificent work. We will talk more about this right after our break. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here today with Michael Litchens and Destiny Herndon De La Rosa, and we will be back right after this. Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we're here today with Michael Litchens and our special guest, Destiny Herndon De La Rosa. And we've been talking about the work of New Wave Feminists, and you were talking about your experience with this the woman at the Battered Women's Shelter.
Yeah. And so It was just amazing to me that the friend of mine who worked at the shelter had the resources for a lot of rehabilitation centers and other places that they normally use, but she did not have any pregnancy centers. And so she starts Googling it and trying to find them. But her fear was that she would end up sending this abortion vulnerable girl to an abortion clinic. And while she would consider herself pro-choice, she knew that in this state, this girl should not be making a decision that permanent at all. So she reached out to me. We were able to find her a couple different options in about 15 minutes. And, you know, the app itself doesn't even exist yet. This was just going through the database and finding locations in her city. And by that evening, the girl was picked up by a wonderful maternity home that had come out with a beautiful car with a robe and slippers and, you know, fresh fruit and milk. The girl hadn't had fresh milk in 3 years. She had basically been kept prisoner in this abusive situation. And it was so cool as a pro-lifer, because as far as I know, I've never saved a baby. I've done sidewalk counseling, but I don't think I have any saves. And I know a lot of pro-lifers tend to care about that. And this is the first time I can think that by doing something as simple as passing along resources, I didn't have to open a maternity home or, you know, start my own pregnancy center, but I just passed along resources that already exist that people don't know are there. Through that, we were able to, you know, save two lives and help this woman completely turn a hopeless situation into a new beginning for herself and her children. And it was really, really
cool. God love you. That's wonderful. That's so great. Michael, you had something you wanted to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, if I've been enjoying listening, I just wanted to see if you can talk about this, Destiny. I travel in many different circles, and so I have friends, especially in the millennial generation. We tend to be more pro-life. The polls show that we are consistently way more pro-life than the average generation. Yet, most of my female friends weren't even sure if they could go to any of the marches, whether in Washington or the local marches here in Denver, Seattle, Portland, places like that, because they thought, well, I'm pro-life, so am I going to be excluded? I just wanted to see if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from very early on in this march, like I said, the fact that Planned Parenthood and NARAL were promoting it and signed on as sponsors, it definitely felt like there was not a place for us. And I can understand how the initial reaction is to say, oh, they're not including my beliefs, or I wouldn't be welcome there, or, you know, even a little bit of fear. Would I be safe going to something like this?
Yes.
Since this is an issue that is so volatile and emotional so often.
Mm-hmm.
But I really would encourage women to go anyway, even if you are the only one standing there, with a sign that exudes compassion and love, because we know that that's what true pro-life is. It's not, you know, we want to argue with you or we want to take away your health care or any of these things. It really is, we want to love you so well and support you so well that violence will not have any part in your life, especially in your pregnancy. And so, yes, I completely understand how difficult it might be to show up and be the only one standing there. But I would really encourage women to, you know, take that mantle from the original feminist foremothers. What they were believing was incredibly unpopular. The fact that now this feminism as a whole has become this very cliquish, like, popular group, it's a sign that it needs to be shaken up, honestly.
That was what I thought of when I first heard this story. All I could think of was, you know, this is like Mean Girls, you know. It's just, you can't be part of our clique. You know, it's like, seriously? This is more important than standing up to a guy like Trump? You know, okay. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, yeah. I mean, that's definitely how it feels. And I posted a meme from our Instagram last night that is, what is it? It's the Mean Girls. You can't sit at our table. And then it's the Addams Family mom. And she's like, I don't want to. I'm just like, that's where I'm at right now. You know, that's fine. I'm proud of what a humble person I am. I'm going to go ahead and let you know that. So I've always considered myself one of those who, you know, do I really want to be a part of any club that would have me? At the same time, I think it's their loss, not ours. Honestly, them excluding us has shown much more about them than it has about our organization. We are willing to work with people who we completely disagree with, to the point that we literally think you support murdering babies. We are still willing to walk alongside you, but ew, gross. Pro-lifers that want to support women and love them, get away from us.
Exactly. It's crazy. How can people, excuse me, how can people find you online, and what can be done to support your work?
So the best way to find us is probably through Facebook. We post most of our blogs and website stuff on there at New Wave Feminists with a S, so plural. Or check out our website or any of our other social media platforms. And then the best way to support our work would honestly, we're trying to ask for a lot of help when it comes to this app, rolling it out. We've got developers right now who are working on all the coding. We have all of the graphics done for it. But at some point, we are going to have to go through city by city and vet a lot of these locations and make sure that they are actually life-affirming women's clinics and not any places that would be pushing abortion as an alternative. And so at some point, you know, if we can get enough people from their cities who say, I know the pro-life resources in this area, to just really confirm that we do have the right addresses and hours and everything like that. I mean, that'll be huge. I know it's not very exciting, but it's very, very functional and something that I know will help so many women in the future, because, a bit about myself. I became pregnant with my son at 16, had him at 17. And it's something that I look back on all of the friends I had who ended up being in that same situation, but choosing abortion. And I had to ask myself, why did they make that choice? And I was able to make this other choice. And honestly, you know, it's because I had the support of my family. My boyfriend took off, but my family was still there saying, we're going to support you in whatever choice you make. And that was huge. And so if there are women who don't have that support system, or even worse, will lose a support system by being kicked out, not having medical care, or whatever the obstacle is, how do we remove that and make sure that she truly has a choice? Which is why it's really cool. We've actually gotten a lot of pro-choice support for this app as well, because this is just more options for women. So definitely please support our work with the Help Assist Her app.
One of the most beautiful things I think I ever saw was I know a young woman who she and her fiance thought that she might be pregnant. And they were, you know, nervous and ashamed and all the rest of it. And they went to his mother. and nervously confessed this. And his mother said, the first thing you need to understand is babies are good.
Yes.
And we will be there with you every step of the way, whatever happens, you know. And it was, and that was so healing for them. Just to hear that, you know, the first truth is babies are good, and whatever else comes after that, you know, we'll figure this out, you know.
I totally agree. New life is good. Women are strong. There is nothing that they can't do. So, you know, if we need to be there to help a woman who's in a crisis pregnancy, that is what the pro-life movement does best. And we just really want to get that message out there. Babies are good. Yeah. Women are strong. And she can do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is just so refreshing to hear. And I love the verve that you are responding to this ridiculous rejection from the Women's March with you're gonna soar right over this. This is so great to watch this happen. And because you have a consistent life ethic, and that's really what it comes back to. You're not using babies for some other agenda. You are affirming human life from conception to natural death. And that is just so unbeatably strong. It's just a wonderful thing.
It's so common sense. How does it
is.
How do people not get this?
I know. It's weird to me too. Yeah. I'm so tickled, so honored to have had a chance to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, and if you're ever in the Seattle area, look me up. I'd be an honor to shake your hand.
Absolutely.
So, and if I'm ever down in Dallas, I will try to do the same. Well, actually, I was going to ask you, have you had a chance to meet Amy Christine Murphy?
I have. Yeah, we've actually worked together multiple times.
Oh, okay, great. I wasn't sure if you'd ever actually met. I've met her a couple of times. I think the world of her.
No, she's wonderful. We have a very cool girl gang, you know, of just women who are supporting each other. Because like I said, sometimes we're just as unpopular in the pro-life movement as we are in the feminist movement. So we've got to
stick together. It drives me nuts. It's like, come on, these are natural allies. Why do you treat them like this?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, anyway, I want to thank you very much, Destiny Herndon de la Rosa of New Wave Feminists, for being on our show. Michael Litchens, I want to thank you for being here as well. Our producer today was Jennifer Longworth. And we will be back tomorrow with Rod Bennett and our special guest, Andrew March. Until then, have a great evening. Bye-bye.